Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Oh, and I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people, and we bring you Locked on Clippers 5 days a week.
Hell yeah, coming out at 7 a.m. every day. So if you want the fresh clip stuff, look for us to drop it at 7 a.m. Pacific every Monday through Friday.
Absolutely. We're there for you every morning, your commute, your early rise, whatever you got to do in the morning. We're there.
Maybe your walk home, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. I like where your head's at there. We're going to be kicking off today's show with a preview of tonight's Clippers versus Timberwolves matchup. Timberwolves took a pretty rough loss to the Lakers. Clippers also coming off a rough loss, so this feels like this feels like a small point of validation for either team. So we're gonna get into what we need to do to win that one, as well as what could go wrong. And then it's Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. Every single Tuesday we do Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in their questions ahead of time. If you ever want a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, send that over to @LockedOnClips. We'd love to hear from you. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings, which is just kind of where we tie up all the loose ends around the NBA. So without any further ado, let's get into this thing.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers are on their first back-to-back of the season. We're playing the Timberwolves and then the Trailblazers, which, hey, that's good times. There's going to be no Karl Anthony Towns for this game. The Wolves are 2-1, with their loss being a 36-point defeat to the Lakers in their first game without Karl Anthony Towns. And for those of you wondering, there will not be any Marcus Morris because of knee soreness, starting to creep into the bit of a concerning territory. And then Kawhi is questionable. They both practice on Monday, so they're going to see kind of how Kawhi's feeling. If he's good to go, he'll go. Do you want Kawhi to play in this game? I haven't really thought about it too much.
I guess of the two games, I would probably prefer him to play against Portland on the second night of the back-to-back.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because we do need his energy and like him as the leader out there, in my opinion, for that game. But, I mean, don't want to take these Timberwolves for granted. Like, let's just get into what could go wrong.
Yeah. After Sunday, yeah. So here's a weird thing that could go wrong is rebounds. Through three games, the Clippers are dead last in rebounds per game with 38, while the Wolves are 13th with 45 per game. Again, they haven't had Karl Anthony Towns for one of their games, so it's still kind of impressive they're up there. Batum is currently leading the team with 7.3 boards, obviously small sample size. But, like, so Zoo has put up rebounding numbers of 6-0-2 so far, which isn't expected even with growing pains, so I think he can get on track with this game. But like Serge and Zoo, there's no reason we shouldn't dominate the boards in this game. Like they don't have like elite rebounding guards. Their best rebounder is out. I just really hope, you know, if we can grab boards in this game, that's going to go a really long way to A, the system looking better, and also maybe some transition buckets looking good, and just making me personally feel more comfortable about this team's rebounding capabilities now that we have an upgrade at center.
Definitely. Speaking of centers, the Timberwolves are basically going to be going at the rim a lot. They're doing a lot of like passes to additional drives, trying to get in the paint to score. Not really a shooting team overall, kind of middle of the pack in three-point attempts. They're sub 30% so far as a team. So if we don't have a strong interior defense, I do think that they're going to get looks easy and it's going to build up that confidence. Like I said, I mean, this is a team that's been sitting in its hotel room for, you know, like a couple days at the point that they'll be playing the Clippers and kind of reliving this game, their loss to the Lakers in their head. So it's one of those things where if we don't establish sort of an interior presence early, I think that they're going to get some confidence, and that could even, you know, that could even transition into them having hot hands from beyond the arc. So I'm curious to see how Serge can move in this one. He's going to have to, you know, be lateral, or if we end up putting Zoo out there a little bit earlier. The thing is that's good for us is that like Russell to me has like a pretty unrefined shot selection. If you give him a
that's like, a very polite way of putting it.
if you cut off driving lanes, give him a little bit of space. I mean, if you force him to shoot, he will take less than ideal attempts, like with time on the shot clock. 100%. So yeah, the biggest thing is just establishing a stronger interior presence than we had in that Mavericks game.
Totally. Also, something, the turnovers. We've seen him. Paul George he's had 15 in three games. There's just been some sloppiness, but they kind of weirdly take care of the ball in Minnesota.
Yeah, so they're tied for fifth in the league in least amount of turnovers, around 13 a game. And the turnovers were an issue against the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers really punished the Timberwolves for any mistake they made. And that's another thing. Like, if we're sloppy with the ball and we're not able to capitalize on Minnesota's turnovers, it's going to be an issue. Yep. We're, like, kind of only converting turnovers at around a 33% clip. I'd like to see that be a little bit higher. Yeah, the Lakers just ran this team out. Like, it's bizarre to me because I always think of the Timberwolves as kind of being a younger team, but they, you know, like they were just getting destroyed in any sort of 5-on-3 or 4-on-3, and guys were not really getting back into a good defensive position to stop the fast break.
It is funny, like, that you mentioned that you always think of the Wolves as young. I do too. Like, I feel like Karl-Anthony Towns is still really young, and it's like, yeah, they got some pieces, but hasn't really materialized. So what do we need to do well in this game? What do we got to make sure we shore up?
We got to be assertive early. This is
yes.
I keep coming back to this, but both of these teams are coming off embarrassing losses. We like their defense right now is looking like butter. We need to just like come out with energy and be the more motivated team at the gate.
Yeah.
And you know, get it however we can get it. I'd personally like to see us taking and hitting some threes. I don't know why, but I was looking at the game footage of the Lakers versus the Timberwolves, and they are trash at defending the perimeter. The Lakers exploited like a 20-point lead, and most of them came off of, like, there were some pull-up transition breaks above the break threes, and there were some corner kind of motion threes off of like simple one-action passes. Nothing even fancy, and it completely broke down that defense. I mean, and like I said, after they exploded that 20-point lead early, the game was over. Like, in our favor, through three games, we're a top 3-point attempt team in the NBA. We're jacking up about 37 a game. We're middle of the pack, you know, in percentage in terms of converting those attempts.
even with
a very trash showing against the Mavs, where we made 12%. So
that's great. Yeah.
Be assertive early. Definitely look to shoot the threes and score off some simple actions, I think, is going to be huge.
Yes. And then, you know, my other note is attacking the basket, which will open up the threes. Ty Lue in the presser before practice on Monday said that the Clippers only had 16 paint attacks despite having over 300 passes in that game against the Mavs. So the team needs to actually get to the paint more to open up looks in and out from the perimeter. Dude, and with no Karl-Anthony Towns, like, who's protecting the paint for the Timberwolves? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this, it's just
against the Lakers, it was no one.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you know, this could be a chance for PG to hone his PG skills, just kind of getting into the basket. Like, assertive PG will be awesome to see in this one. There'll be passing there, there'll be finishes there. So that'd be good. And then we got to pick up the pace, man. With the outlier of the Mavs game, we're ranked 30th in pace with 97 possessions through three games, which is, I was pretty kind of shocked by, even how bad the Mavs game was. I did not think we would be 30th in pace. But like you said, this could be a great opportunity to run a shorthanded team out. Like, let's jump on them early. Let's get some early buckets. Like, let's get one of those Kawhi dunks if he plays, where it like looks like it's in slow motion, but he's just faster than everybody. Like, I want to see a blowout in this game. Like, I want to see us win by like 20.
Yeah. I mean, we also got to establish the, you know, like the LA gauntlet. Like, I like it when teams have to make their LA trip and it's like you go 0-2.
Yeah, like, deal with it. Like, y'all are here. Key matchups. These ones are kind of interesting because basically I'm really just worried about our guard play overall. Like, I mean, Pat Bev and Luke Kennard versus fouls. Through three games, the Clippers are 30th in fouls per game.
Hell yeah.
Opponents only commit 18 compared to our 26.5. So, and it's not all Bev and Luke, obviously, but they're the ones who have the dumbest fouls, it seems like. And if we're going to contain D'Angelo Russell, Beverly has to be playing well off the jump. D'Angelo Russell is going to look for contact. He's going to do all those things. The offense looked really bad for the Wolves, even with Karl Anthony Towns and the 2-0 record. So containing him is just going to go such a long way to making this easier. Really, it's not all we have to do, but it's the biggest thing we have to do.
I see you got no mention of Rubio in your matchups.
I don't want to talk about the ghost of Rubio.
You're sleeping on Ricky?
I'm not sleeping on Ricky because this also feels like a game where Ricky Rubio shoots 6 of 6 from the 3-point line against us just because.
Definitely.
But the bench is going to have to be good against Anthony Edwards. Like, he's shooting 23% on 6 threes a game, so let's just keep him out of the paint. Like, I'm hoping whatever combination of Luke, Lou, and Reggie that we have to suffer through can stop this. Zubats being there is really going to help with that whole situation. But
absolutely.
Huge. I just don't know who's stopping PG. Like, I don't know who's really going to be stopping Serge and Zoo. Like, there's all matchups we can take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then just the team versus this 3-point slump. It's only been one game, but it was already too much for me. I tried to watch the highlights, big quotation marks, from the last game. And I couldn't get all the way through the 9 minutes.
That's very funny. What's our predictions for this game?
I'm thinking the Clips bounce back, even Kawhi-less. I'm hoping that we can kind of put it together. I'd love to see, you know, this was a big criticism of mine in the garbage minutes in that Mavs game. I'd love to see some of these younger guys or deeper rotation guys kind of step up to the plate and put in some quality minutes. I'm hoping that we can get Batum to get some shots going against, I think he's going to have some really nice space on the perimeter there. So I think we put this one away. I don't think that we hammer them quite like the Lakers did, but I'm hoping we can take this one out with a double-digit lead.
Yeah, I don't think the spread, we're recording this on Monday night, I don't think the spread is up on betonline.ag yet. But hey, if that thing is low double digits, I think you should take it. I think the Clippers are going to have a pretty good game in this one. I think PG is going to bounce back well after, you know, kind of his comments after that horrible Mavs performance. So we'll see what happens. We will have the recap for you on Wednesday's episode. Coming up, we're going to be answering your fantastic questions from Twitter Tuesday. But first, we got to give a shout out to betonline.ag. Their NFL regular season is finishing up. I hope you bet on the Dolphins all year against the spread like I did. It was a pretty good year. There's only one place I feel comfortable doing that, and the one place I trust, which is betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account, again, it's free, at betonline, and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. You put $20 in, you get an extra 10. Look out for the Clippers to be overvalued in brunch games from here on out, probably. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports book experts.
Okay, so we're back. It's Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much again to everyone who sent those questions in ahead of time. If you would like a chance to get your question featured on this show, go ahead, send that over to @LockedOnClips. We usually kind of compile the questions on Monday, but, you know, send them in anytime. We'll see what we can do. I'd love to hear from you. So what should we open this up with?
We got to open up, but first got to give a shout out to Locked On Bets. Daily bet picks help you end the year on top. Let's start with this one from Mike Hashi, which is an interesting one. He said, would you have preferred 2 close losses and 1 major win instead of the start we've had?
Absolutely not. What?
No way. No. I want to get well, you said it perfectly. We got the 0-3 start out in one game.
Yeah. Like, it was a bad loss.
2 close losses, man. We're 1-2 in that scenario.
That loss sucks. But it doesn't in any way for me tarnish like the quality of those of our first two wins. Those are against teams that are direct competitors in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and so we got a question too, like if you know, what we can take away from that loss in terms of actual things and not outlier stats. And I think we've already kind of touched off on them even in the preview for the Wolves game, which is turnovers, sloppy fouls, interior defense.
Definitely.
Like, yeah, if those things continue, that's going to be tough to watch. But no, that loss, man, it was horrible. I like woke up and like kind of had to remind myself that it had happened because I couldn't believe that in 2021 with this roster is when we gave up the worst loss in the history of the Clippers. But no, give me 2-1 any day. Like, this team is built for the long haul. It's not a fluky team, so I think I'm fine with it. Clipper Mitch wants to know, what's up with Lou? He seems out of it. What do we got with this one?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. Kind of up and down. He has been really efficient at times. He was not great in the Mavs game. Also didn't get a lot of minutes. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't know if they're approaching sort of his health and sort of load in a different way than they would in a normal season. Obviously, yeah. He's definitely played less competitive basketball in this offseason than any other time in his career. So I don't know if there's some more hurdles to get to the conditioning thing, because that'll certainly affect everything, right? Like, if you're not in the game shape that you're normally accustomed to, it's going to affect the shot, it's going to affect your confidence, it's going to affect everything. And I would guess, just due to the minutes, that they are trying to ramp him up, but we haven't heard any official word on that.
Yeah, that's what's interesting with me, is like, maybe we got to shoot a question to Ty Lue during the presser of just like the plan for Lou Will, right? Like, because, you know, he's only taken three threes a game, he's shooting 50%, which, hey, that's good. But yeah, and I wonder if it's hard too, because you kind of got a log jam with Kennard trying to get back into true playing shape, you know, for the backup guard situation. I don't know. I don't know if it's trade talk stuff either, because I do, like, Lou Williams is one of the few players who I'm like, I do believe that you just shut down and then go hang out with your family, like when you hear all the trade stuff on social media. So I hope it's not that. But yeah, I hope he gets going. I think this game against the Timberwolves is a great way for him to kind of find his shot, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be great to see him kind of snap back in and have another efficient game like we've even seen him have this year. So,
yeah, but hope he's doing okay. And then we had so many Reggie Jackson related questions.
Lay them on me. Let's do it.
They ranged from funny to enraged, I would say. We got at Lob City with a 0 instead of an O, asking, would Reggie Jackson also be the worst player in the G League? Poof, elite petty question right there. Sour Pack James said, is there a trade target to upgrade those Reggie Jackson minutes? G_Mecca said, should the Clips give Lou and Batum all the backup PG minutes? Cut Reggie, grab RHJ. I just can't with Reggie. And then Clipper Zay asked a one that seemed less rooted in emotion. Is it possible to maximize Reggie's output, or is it better to just move on from him?
This is too many questions at once, but
no, the last question is the one we need to answer, because all the other ones, it's like, yeah, Reggie sucks. We all know
Reggie
that.
Jackson would not be the worst player in the G League, dude. We've seen
kill in the G League.
We've seen G League people. He would probably he would probably ball out in the G League.
There's also no trade target for Reggie Jackson.
There's not an upgrade for him directly. No, maybe you can package him with something and someone would take a look.
He's filler. He's a filler in a trade.
He's a filler in a trade, I think. As far as the backup minutes to Lou and Batum,
I think Batum is such a wild one to put in here. Why not Lou and Kennard? Like, I don't like Batum's not going to play point.
Yeah, well, I think that we would be looking at less Reggie minutes if Kennard wasn't having the foul issues and if Terrence Mann looked even semi-confident on the basketball court.
I'm worried about Terrence.
We've seen an increase in these minutes just because, like, I thought we were set at guard. I was like, we're good on guards. I don't want to hear any more talk about guards. And then somehow right now it's like, we don't have enough guards.
Hey,
we're playing Reggie.
Yeah.
It's baffling to me. I don't even want to think about it. Is it possible to maximize Reggie's output? Yes, it 100% is. We saw the role that he's good in. He's good at off ball. He's good at spotting up. I had hoped that he would be able to take some of the playmaking burden off of Lou, but I rarely see him make a good decision, so I don't feel that comfortable with the ball in his hands.
Right? Like, maximizing his value is so hard because, dude, at the end of the day, he has the ball in his hands. And when he gets the ball in his hands in that spot-up shooter role, sometimes it becomes a disaster. In transition, it's always a disaster.
Yeah.
So, like, you almost have to put him in for, like, only ATOs where we can get an open shot and then, like, take him out immediately. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to do with him, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not obviously the deepest basketball mind when it comes to X's and O's, but I know very much that Reggie Jackson is a net negative when it comes to every aspect of that.
Yeah, he just needs to be playing off ball. If he's like, if he's just kind of spotting up and taking threes, if he can find an easy cut to the basket or something, I don't want him bringing the ball up. I don't think that he is.
He doesn't even find cuts, which is what's so frustrating.
Yeah,
like if he was a great cutter, I'd be like, sure, this is great. But he doesn't even do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he likes to play off ball either, which is the difficult thing, right? Because if you want to maximize him, I think that's the role that he'd be good at. But once again, you have to have him accept that role, which I don't know if he's trying to do.
Dude, I don't either. Yeah, they got to figure something out. I'm going to be pretty hurt if this team ends up moving Lou Williams, who obviously isn't playing how we expect him to play, and we end up just somehow losing Lou and getting a guard who's as good as Lou and then still stuck with Reggie, and we have to deal with more Reggie minutes when we're working the new guard in, because that's what happens probably. All right, enough Reggie Jackson talk. Let's talk about the complete opposite of Reggie Jackson, which is Nicholas Batum. Courtside Clips said, how much better is Batum than you guys expected? Do you think he can maintain a good portion of his play for the rest of the season? Well, we have the head of the Batum Battalion here to talk about it. The floor is yours, Mr. Updike.
I mean, the thing that stuck out most to me is just the playmaking. You know, I knew some degree of what he would be capable of, but I definitely just thought of him more as being a 3-and-D guy in a role that I thought he would be elite at. But the passing and playmaking has really stuck out to me. You know, he's got just... He does have a really solid basketball IQ. He can both make plays and get himself into position to help his teammates, you know, make plays. So that is the biggest thing. But I've also been pretty impressed with the rebounding, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah. Leading the team.
he's moved down a position to playing basically all of his minutes at the power forward. And I think that it's a great fit for him. He's thriving in the role. I thought that we'd see him a little bit more in kind of on ball stuff with the second unit as the three. But that's not his role right now. That also goes into my like surprise of expectations. Like, I wasn't sure how to take this start. I had the highest of hopes that it would be a huge test for him to just walk into this starting lineup. Certainly guys have had their ups and downs trying to integrate in this system in the past. And, I think it's already been a success early on. I think if he can maintain his health and start to get those shots dropping, which is just going to happen. He's a career like 37% shooter from three. Those shots are going to start falling, especially when they're as open as they are. But I think that Batum is even better than I expected. And I think that he can maintain a good portion of play. I think that play against the Nuggets is not just a flash in the pan. I think that that is something that he is capable of on a somewhat regular basis, depending on his minutes load depending on the matchup.
100%. And he's just great teammate too. Like, I think his biggest value we kind of thought was just gonna be locker room stuff, and now it's both of those things, which is fantastic. So shout out to the Batum Battalion. If you want to hang out with the Batum Battalion, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. Coming up, we're going to be talking a bit of a sore spot for my co-host, is some Jerome Robinson talk. But first, Will, talk to me about these Built Bars I keep hearing so much about.
All right, so Built Bar is great, let me tell you. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and now it's even more delicious than before. It's new and improved. It comes in 18 amazing flavors with nut and non-nut in case you have allergies. The 6 new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon to almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. But best of all, the bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, they're low-sugar, they're high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet, all your low-lows and your high-highs. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. You can get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, all caps, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, so now that we're built up, it was said today, sadly, that the Wizards of Washington are not picking up the fourth-year option for Jerome Robinson, which is tough, the former lottery pick. Before we get into the Clippers front office talk with this draft, what kind of went wrong for Jerome?
Oh, man. Well, he got hurt. I think that
very
was
early,
that was
sure.
an issue. Definitely shook his confidence. And I think confidence overall was a big deal. I mean, Shea definitely had his own issues, but was able to blossom a lot more regular playing time. I almost wonder if, you know, Jerome shouldn't have just been redshirted maybe that first year. I mean, he kind of was because of the injury. But then you have a situation, right, where what the team is doing, like the identity of the team and the trajectory of the team, is a sharp 180 from what it was when they drafted him. So there was very quickly no room or time to try and develop him in any sort of real way. And then he went to a team that is not really that
sucks.
Isn't good, and you know, isn't that I mean, I guess they have developed a couple of guys, like, they, you know, but I don't know. Yeah, it's a bummer.
It's tough.
It's a bummer. I think he's gonna have to get more confident, and I don't know, man. Like, it's after being under Patrick Beverley or something, I think as a guard, if things weren't going for you offensively like they did in college, I would hope that you would just learn to, like, okay, so how can I be, you know, a semi-elite level defender?
That's what's so weird is that Robert Flom on Twitter, he and I were going back and forth about this, but he brought up a good point. He was like, he said, I don't think Jerome would be good, but he's been bad in the exact opposite way that everyone thought. People thought he'd be a decent shooter who could do nothing else, and instead he's like an okay defender who can't do a single thing on offense. And I think that's totally true. It's so weird how it was like, well, worst case scenario, this dude spots up. He shot 40% two of the seasons he played in college. The Clippers worked him out. This is a Jerry West pick. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't psyched on this pick. I had the Clips colored glasses on. This was a Jerry handpicked guy, you know, like the numbers look good. He had like a crazy game against Duke. Like, he was a multi-year guy. It seemed like it would work. But then it was just like, man. I was shocked by this pick.
I was psyched. he wasn't really on my radar in the boards that, you know, I was looking at, or my, you know, my personal, what I wanted as far as picks. But yeah, like you, I mean, I felt kind of, I felt a little bit assured by the fact that he had worked out with the team before, and they liked what they saw. You know, he spent a summer around the organization. But yeah, it didn't really pan out
at all, like truly in any way possible. And now we have to discuss, because we have talked about this, about how the Clippers don't draft very well. We're not going to talk about MPJ. We're not going to talk about that. But here are the players who were drafted after Jerome Robinson. Dante DiVincenzo.
Which, can we just pause at that one right there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why we didn't take a flyer on him, because he was like, he was
a stud.
He was a stud in that Villanova championship win.
Yeah.
I get that he's an undersized guard, but I mean, he's a decent defender. He came from a great system. I truly don't understand really how he fell as deep as he did. Well, no, never mind. 13 makes sense. That's
yeah. Right. So at 13, we could have had Donnie Pizza, Lonnie Walker, Kevin Herter, Josh Okogie, who I love, Aaron Holiday, Javon Carter, Jalen Brunson, Devontae Graham, Mitchell Robinson, Gary Trent Jr., De'Anthony Melton, Shake Milton, who we've all seen put up 50 against us. This is like, given like what the core might look like, and I know things are very far down the road, it just like, the further we get away from it, the more it hurts a little bit. But I think part of that is because, you know, if we make the Western Conference Finals last season, I don't care about this, right? Like, because I'm like, whatever, we got everything put together. We didn't waste that 1 year. But now it's like, man, like, who's to say any of these players would have been on the team even after the Kawhi and PG trade? Maybe one of them would stay over. But, like, yeah, having good young players, which is something we talked about with Terrence Mann and all this stuff, is what you need when you kind of have mortgaged a lot of your, and obviously the Clippers didn't know they were going to trade all of Shea and everybody for Paul George, you know? So like, that's not something we can really hold against them, but it's just, it shows why it's important to draft well, even when you're already a contending team, right? Like, because Terrence Mann, dude, Terrence Mann does not look ready for real minutes at all. So it's just, yeah, it's just kind of tough. I hope Jerome gets picked up. I'm not really sure the market on him, but yeah, I hope he ends up somewhere. It's just tough for a guy who, you know, some teams have to only have 14 guys and all that stuff. But I mean, this is the worst bust for the Clippers' current front office. Not ever, obviously, Michael Olowokandi. But yeah, this is the toughest one, I think. Because at least Shea was good for us for a little bit.
It's difficult, but like you said, I mean, this was kind of free money for us from like the biggest, like our biggest goal, honestly, was offloading salary post the Lob City era and trying to get into something new. And we did that effectively. And, you know, you do have to temper your expectations. It's really hard to hit on two game ready players, two solid level players in the same draft. So, it, you know, the odds are working against you.
It was a good draft.
It's a disappointment for sure, especially just considering the talent in the draft, or just maybe moving up to take Bridges and Shea. I feel like would have been a solid pick as well. But we can complain about it until the cows come home, but it's like it's over, man. Like it's over. The pick was made. There were other options on the board that might have been a better fit, but guess what? We still don't even know. We might have had to dangle those in a trade as well, and you know, less picks. I don't know.
Who knows?
But there's nothing we can do about it now.
Yeah, let's just, you know, maybe on Tuesday some horrible Clipper stuff won't happen. We had Sunday the 51-point loss. Monday everyone's talking about the drum thing. Maybe Tuesday we talk about how nice Kawhi and PG are with the community. I don't know. But on Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a recap of that hopeful victory over the Wolves, as well as a preview of the next game against the Blazers. Of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, real quick, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, go ahead and leave a rating or review over on iTunes. We'll definitely read it on air. And yeah, thanks so much for rocking with us. We love to bring you Clippers news every morning at 7 a.m.
Hell yeah, we do. We usually don't talk about Jerome Robinson this much, but he has a soft spot in our hearts. Yeah, I mean, we're here. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.